Would you turn to the 15th Psalm? Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? This is another way of asking this question: who will be in heaven? That's the question. Who will be in heaven? And here's the answer: he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Before I go on reading, I want you to notice that every one of these verbs describing this one ends with an E-T-H. That means it's continual, non-stop. He that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence and the name of thy Son, and we ask in his name that we would have your presence, your blessing, that you would speak to our hearts from your word, that you would enable us to worship thy dear Son. We pray that your gospel would be preached and that we would be given ears to hear. We confess our sins. Lord, we pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We pray that we might be found in your Son. We pray for your blessing on all your people, wherever they meet together. We pray for those of our number that are sick. We pray for your blessing upon them. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. I notice who David addresses. Everybody hear that? Notice who David addresses when he asks this question: Lord, who shall abide in thy holy hill, thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord. He's asking the Lord this question. Now, if you ask men this question, you'd get a lot of different answers, wouldn't you? If you had asked different members of different denominations, they would have a different slant on this. And I couldn't help but thinking about this. I grew up as a Baptist. And I can remember when I was 7 years old. I can remember this so clearly. There's some new people that moved into our neighborhood. And I was only in second grade. And I came up to them, and I was talking to them somehow. And I asked them what kind of church they went to. And they said, a Methodist. I said, well, you're going to hell. And where did I come up with such strong views at that time? I did, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, I just told the guy. And I remember the guy started crying. And I said, sorry, you know, you don't have a chance. And I had those views of how strong it was to be a Baptist, you know. And that was just as a little boy. You know, everybody's got their opinions of things. I had my opinions of things. But David is not asking somebody like me or you about who will be in heaven. He's asking the Lord. Lord, there's the key. Lord,
who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find out who will be there and who will not be there. If someone does not exactly fit this description, they will not be there. I heard a man preach on this passage of Scripture. I always try to look for sermons on this passage of Scripture. And the guy entitled this message that he preached from this, How to Approach God. And he said, this is how to approach God. You have to at least be in some measure like this, or you won't be saved. Now, nobody can be perfectly like that, but you've got to be at least some measure like this, or you can't approach God. Now, do we get that from this text? Does this text say, as long as you're this way some of the time, or half the time, or most of the time, you'll be okay? No, that word ETH lets us know that I must be this way all the time. All the time. Who's going to be able to approach God? Now let's look at this beautiful description of character of that man who can approach God, who's going to be in heaven, who's going to abide in his tabernacle and dwell in his holy hill. Verse 2. Well, here's who's going to be there. He that walketh uprightly, lives without wrong, whole, unimpaired, perfect, innocent. That's the one who's going to be in heaven. That person who walketh uprightly. And the next description is they work righteous. They worketh all the time. They worketh righteousness. That means they keep God's holy law all the time. Look in verse 2. He speaketh the truth in his heart all the time. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie to God. He doesn't lie to himself. He doesn't lie to other people. He always speaks the truth. That's the person who's going to be in heaven. The person who always speaketh the truth. Verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, the one who never slanders someone. This person always has your back. Always. Never a slanderous accusation comes out of their mouth. And what else? Verse 3. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. He never does his neighbor wrong. And he taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. This person never receives slander. Not only does he not slander, he won't receive it. Somebody comes up and tries to slander somebody, he says, I'm not listening. I don't want to have anything to do with that. This is the person who's going to be in heaven. What a beautiful character. Now, as we read this, what beauty is in this person? Let's go on reading. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Now, this person doesn't have a different standard for different people. If someone is a vile person, anti-God, he's not going to be for that person. He's not going to have a different standard for that person because of something that person can do for him. Not at all. This person is no respecter of persons at all. He is not going to esteem that person who is vile. But, verse 4, he honoreth them that fear the Lord. That's the person he's for. That person who fears the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now look at the honor of this person. He makes a promise, and that promise he has made is going to cost him something. He doesn't break his promise, even if it costs him something. He's going to swear, he's going to keep his what he guaranteed to do, even no matter how much it hurts him. And look what the scripture says with regard to this man. He changes not. He changes not. He's utterly predictable. He's utterly reliable. He never changes. Verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury. Now, I've always wondered about that because banks do that all the time. They loan you money and they charge interest and, well, they got to do it. I mean, so, but what this is a reference to is this person never does something for you in order to get something in return. Never does it. Never tries to benefit from it. Doesn't give you money and expect you to pay it back with usury so he can benefit and profit from it. This person never does that. He putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He can't be bribed. He can't be bought. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, isn't that a beautiful description of a perfect character? And really, there is only one person whom that describes, isn't there? How beautifully this typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked uprightly. He kept God's law perfectly. He never sinned. He never received a slander or accusations. I think of those people that brought that woman caught up in adultery and brought her before the Lord. And what did he say? Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? He wouldn't receive anything. Verse 3, he backbiteth not with his tongue. He never slandered, nor doth he evil to his neighbor. The Lord never did anybody any wrong, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He never received a slander, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Oh, he doesn't have a different standard. Everybody treats everybody the same. Somebody's against God, he's against them. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Now the Lord made an agreement with his father to save his people. It was to his hurt, wasn't it? He had to go to the cross in able to do that. And he did it anyway. He did not, he gave this swear even though it hurt him. He went to the cross anyway for his people. And he changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the only one who can be described by this. He that putteth not out his money to usury, you know, he's never given you anything because he expected something in return from you. He never gives his gifts with some string attached, thinking, well, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's not the Lord. He never does anything thinking he's going to get some kind of return from you that will benefit him. He putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He's always just. He's always just. He can't be bribed in any way. He can't be bought. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now this obviously is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me think about this psalm in light of myself. I want you to do the same thing. Put yourself in light of this description. He that walketh uprightly, verse 2, I have not walked uprightly. He that worketh righteousness, I have not worked righteousness. in any sense of the word as far as what I've done. I've not worked righteousness. Look what he says next. And speaks the truth in his heart. I'm a liar. That's what I am. Every time my mouth, you know, you've ever heard somebody say every time their mouth moves, they lie? That's me. Every time. That's you. Even if you tell the truth, you're giving some kind of slant on it to make you look better. Every time. I'm a liar. I've lied to God. I've lied to myself. I've lied to you. I'm a liar. That's a good description of me. A liar. Somebody says, well, how do you expect me to hear you preach then if you're a liar? Somebody who said they weren't a liar, I wouldn't hear them preach. I'd know they're liars from the get-go. You know that? I mean, they. But that's me. That's me. That's you. Let's go on reading. Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, I've slandered people. I've slandered people. You see, when I can make you look bad, it makes me look better. I've slandered people. I can't say I'm not guilty there. Neither can you. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. I've done evil to my neighbor. You have too. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. This man doesn't receive slander. I receive slander. You see, if I hear something bad about you, it makes me look better. I receive it. That's evil. It's wicked. I know that, but I'm just talking about what I am in light of this psalm. I've received slander. You have too. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Condemned. He has no... whenever phones ring, my mind, everything, you know. You ought not... Everybody, that's happened to everybody. I know Don Fortner used to threaten people with the phone ringing. One time his phone rang while I was preaching. And he said, no more. I'm going to... This is a time of cell phones. But at any rate, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, I have not looked at everybody. I've been a respecter of persons. A vile person, if they can help me and benefit me, I'll let them go. I'll be okay with them. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Now, I'll make a promise to you, but if it's going to mess me up, I'm going to break my promise. You say, that's awful. Yeah, it's awful. I agree it's awful. But I'm talking about the character of the natural man, my character. This would describe everything that this psalm describes. I'm not. How do you fit in? How do you fit in? Let's go on reading. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not at his money to usury. Now that's talking about, I'm going to do something for you so you can do something for me in return. I want to get some benefit out of this. I'm not going to do this. I might say I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart, but I'm not. I'm putting out my money to usury, hoping I can benefit. Nor taketh reward against the innocent. Well, I can be bought. I can be bought. I have been bought. You have too. Maybe not financially, but when you can benefit from something, you've taken reward against the innocent. Now, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. But he that does not these things. Now, like I said, this is a beautiful description of character. I admire this. Everything about this, I am not. And I want to be. I'm not making some kind of excuse for sin. We should never sin again. We should never have a bad motive. We should never... I'm not excusing bad behavior in any way. But I am... You know, I remember one time somebody wrote me that left the church, and they said, you normalize bad behavior. Well, and I thought, well... people around, there's going to be bad behavior. You know that, but I don't normalize it. I don't say it's okay. But here we have this beautiful description of this person, and just as honest as I can be. And I never will forget one time Tim James preached a message out of Romans 7 where Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do. What I do, I know it's wrong. You're familiar with the passage. He said, would you buy a used car off this guy? That's a good question. Would you buy a used car off this guy? You know, if he said, do you lie? Yeah. Well, what makes me think I can trust you? Well, that's a tension, isn't it? But it's just the truth. It's just the truth. Now, what about the man that does not live this way when this is the only man who's going to be in heaven? Well, hold your finger there in Psalm 15 and turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now put yourself in John's place. What if the Lord Jesus Christ came to you and said, I want you to baptize me? How would you feel? Like John felt. John said in verse 14, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said, suffer it to be so now. And I love that language. He was saying, I know it seems completely inappropriate. I realize that. But suffer it to be so now. And here's why. For thus it becometh, what's that next word? Us. To fulfill all righteousness. What the Lord did when he exemplified Psalm 15, he did as an us. When he fulfilled all righteousness, so did everybody in him. Now, this is the reality of justification. Justification is not simply a perfect legal standing before the law of God, and you're still guilty. You know, we use that term, or we've used that term, justification is just as if I ever sinned. That won't get it, because that means you've still sinned if you're just as if you've never sinned. And if somebody, I've used this example several times recently, if somebody murders your child and then the judge stands before that person who murdered your child, say, I'm going to treat you just as if you never sinned. We've got an unjust judge, don't we? We've got someone who is a criminal in judging. So this thing of justification means not that I just have a legal standing before the law of God, but it means Psalm 15 describes me literally. Literally. I have nothing to fear. I stand before God without sin. Perfectly just. This describes me. You see, when Christ walked uprightly, I did. When he worketh righteousness, I did. All these descriptions are me. Because everything he did as an us. Now let me show you this from Hebrews chapter 7. In my own experience, I always feel guilty about something. Always. But I don't have anything to feel guilty about. Not a thing. Not a thing. Look in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes. in Abraham. Now remember who Levi is. He's the great-grandson of Abraham. The great-grandson. Hadn't been born yet. And this passage of Scripture says, when Abraham paid tithes, somebody who hadn't even yet been born paid tithes. That's what it says, isn't it? Levi paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, when Abraham paid those tithes, it doesn't say it was as if Levi paid those tithes or it was credited to his account, but Levi paid those tithes. When Jesus Christ kept the law, everybody in him kept the law. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, and you'll notice to be is in italics. It is put there by the translators, but if anything, it casts darkness on this verse of Scripture. He made him sin. I couldn't begin to tell you what all that means. No man can tell you what that means, but I know on Calvary's tree, that cup that the Father gave him to drink was more than punishment. You know, if all it was punishment, and I don't mean to diminish that in any way, but if all it was the pain and suffering that was involved, it wouldn't have made him sweat drops of blood. There are many people who have suffered just as much as he did physically, even martyrs who suffered and rejoiced while it was going on. When he drank that cup, the sins of his people were in that cup. And he drank that cup, and the Scripture says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He drank that cup and those sins became his sins. Now, he never committed a sin. When he was made sin, he never committed a sin. This is worse. He was made sin. He was made sin. And he suffered the complete equivalent of hell on Calvary's tree, satisfying God's justice. He was made sin by the Father that we might be made, Psalm 15, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. Now we have a very similar psalm. Let me close by looking at Psalm 24. And this is saying the same thing. Psalm 24. We'll be there in, I guess, Lord will, 9 or 10 weeks. David asks the same question when he says, beginning in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now that, once again, Jesus Christ, clean hands, a pure heart. He never lifted up his soul to vanity. He never swore deceitfully. Oh, the beautiful character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the character of everybody that he died for. It's called justification. Thank God for justification.